Hoo-wee! It has been a technological mess to start the show today. I am Matt Scraby. I got Sam Levitt with me. For some reason, everything is not working for me today, Sam. So we are going to just move forward, have a good time today. You can hear me, right?
I can hear you loud and clear. I've also been having, and we are not in the same place. We are hundreds and hundreds of miles away, but my laptop here has decided to have an absolute meltdown this afternoon, but I should be on the YouTube stream here in the next few minutes. So for those of you watching on YouTube, we'll get that rolling for you shortly. But aside from that, everything else, knock on wood, is working correctly, and I'm ready to go for a Thursday afternoon program.
That's right. The Padres are out in Mesa, Arizona, so Tony's going to join us when he gets back, and then we'll talk a little bit about the game. But so far today against the A's, I believe it's in the eighth inning, Padres are playing pretty well. I mean, Matt Waldron, we got to see a lot of the mainstay pitchers today in the game for the Padres. We got Matt Waldron starting, going two innings. You have Jeremiah Estrada, and you have Robert Suarez. Robert Suarez pitched an inning, gave up a hit, two strikeouts. Matt Waldron pitched three innings, gave up a hit, a walk, and two strikeouts, no runs. Estrada, one inning, 1K, no hits, no walks. Now, Johnny Brito struggled a little bit, but he did end up coming back and in his second inning, locking it down, giving up no hits. So Forrest Wall also with the second homer in the last two games. So that's what's happened today, Sam. That's a lot. That's good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Forrest Wall making a name for himself and continues to play very well. I'll be honest with you, he's a guy that I have not really had a chance to speak with at length. So that's going to be on my list over the next few days, because he certainly has turned some heads, and he's somebody that Jackson Merrill even mentioned a little bit earlier this morning. And hey, that's what spring training is partially about. Guys getting opportunities to make a name for themselves and an opportunity to, you know, even if they don't make the ball club, you know, turn some heads and get your name out there if the team needs you a little bit later in the year. So Forrest Wall early on, I think, is a prime example of that. Somebody that I don't think a lot of us knew the name when spring training began, but certainly over the last few days, he's done some really nice things.
Yes, he has. He absolutely has. And we will be talking about him throughout the show. But I'm trying something new with the camera today, Sam, because my neck has been hurting from having to just look down at the camera the entire time. So Adam and I spent about a half hour today coming up with different options. So I feel very out of place, but I'm looking more at you now.
But what do you mean?
Like,
what do you mean that you're? Why are you looking at me so much?
Okay, because when we're at a studio and I'm talking to you to see you, normally I need to take my head and go down and to the right, and I'm not looking into the camera.
I see. So I'm actually, and I can control this from my laptop, I'm actually moving you to the left side of the screen since you're looking this way. Now, of course, if somehow I had a screen this way, it would kind of look like we're talking to each other, but
it's okay.
I don't have that technology, so
yeah,
this is about as good as we're gonna do, me looking straight into the camera.
It was kind of funny because I asked Adam for help, and then he gives me all these suggestions, and I shot down every single suggestion that he gave me. But I'm trying the one suggestion I think will work by putting it on the Adobe computer so that I can watch. And I split screen things so I could see us on one side and my notes on the other side. And I'm feeling
now
good.
I will say one thing. If we're going to switch the sides here, you may want to switch the little lower third there. Not
oh, no.
Deal.
It says Sam Levitt. I am not Sam Levitt.
At some point, but you know, it is what it is. We're not perfect. You'll note that I did get Dutch Bros again today.
You told me yesterday during the break you were going to stop getting Dutch Bros.
I know. Not only did I get Dutch Bros today, but this isn't even the zero sugar version. This is a full sugar with a banana soft top Kokomo drink. I mean, this is a solid 400 to 450 calories in this cup right here. We're going all out, and you know what? Just is what it is. I was
it
in
is
that kind of mood.
Is.
YOLO.
Yeah, I love it, Sam. We got so much to talk about today. We're also going to hear from a lot of the interviews that Ben and Woods did this morning. They had some heavy hitters on the show this morning. Jackson Merrill, Michael King, Manny Machado. We'll hear from them. Yeah. Also, Sammy Lev with Alec Jacob. We'll hear from that interview as well.
Yeah, they continue to do a great job, Ben and Woods, and I want to give them credit. You know, they... I feel like, really, for two reasons, they get a lot out of these guys. And the first reason is totally about them. And it is, they have a way about them to make these guys very comfortable. They're very friendly. The way they just make it very conversational. It's really a credit to them, the way they get these guys to open up anytime they come on. And also, I do think there's something too, maybe a little bit differently than what I do day to day, where I'm in the clubhouse a lot. Now I do pull guys out. We'll do one-on-ones, but it's just me. It's a little bit more formal, right? What I do in general tends to be a little bit more formal, right?
Yeah. It's more of a, it's more of a baseball interview because you're in the clubhouse and that's
correct.
What that's for that time.
Correct. So, but to get them out of the clubhouse very, you know, comfortably sitting at a table, you know, mic in hand. It feels a little bit looser, I think, which adds to it. So for whatever reason, whatever reasons those are, they've done a great job.
Yeah.
These interviews have been great. Merrill was great today. I thought Manny was excellent today. Michael King was excellent today. Luis Ariz, we talked about it yesterday, was excellent. Really, really, really good stuff. And, if you missed it this morning, I know it's early for a lot of you listening. We will, like Scraby said, replay a lot of that, and a lot of it's up on YouTube for whatever we don't play.
Yeah, 5:40, we're going to play Manny Machado with Ben Woods this morning, and Adam was telling me that he was very excited about the SDFC opening because he's a part owner of the team. So, and mm-hmm. I even believe he said this morning that he's going to be at the game on Saturday here in San Diego. So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's awesome. I got to see, I guess. Well, either he's not going to play in that game on Saturday. I with almost 100% certainty, could tell you he's going to play tomorrow. So he's either not going to play on Saturday and get back there. But then I was thinking about it. I said to myself, even if he does play in a noon Pacific time game on Saturday,
done by 1:30,
gets a couple of at bats, yeah, he'd be out of there by 1:30, 2:00.
Get on that PGA, fly to San Diego.
I would assume. I would assume for this kind of trip, especially that's so quick and back and forth. Yes, I.
You don't think Manny's getting C class Southwest? You don't think he like forgot to check in?
No.
He's like, oh, at that. He's like, oh no, I didn't check in at Southwest.
So we'll see. C. I guess he could still play Saturday, but maybe not. And you know, certainly could you know be on a flight at, I mean, 3:00, and he's there in plenty of time. The game's not till 7:30. So
now, what people don't know about some of these games is that when starters are done, they're done.
They're out.
They don't even wait till the end of the game, which the first time I went there, I found very funny because I'm like, all throughout my sports playing career, as you always stay for your teammates in baseball, they're out.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It is a long season. So there is really no reason especially early in spring training when these guys are getting a couple of at-bats and they're quite literally 5-6 innings left in these games. There is no reason for those guys to sit there in a hot dugout, in a crowded dugout, and just watch the game. So that's always been a baseball thing, rightfully so. It's a long, long year, you know, when the year begins. So, those guys.
But to go back to the point we were making is Manny could easily play in the game, get on a plane,
he could.
Make it here,
he
and
could.
Get back.
Yeah, I mean, he's already played in back-to-back games. He had one already where he played third base one day, and then he DH'd and got a couple of at-bats. So I don't know for sure, but I would imagine he plays third base tomorrow. Could he DH on Saturday? Maybe. He also may just not play on Saturday.
You don't really need to.
Look, I could see a scenario where if he's going to the game on Saturday, he's like, hey, I'll come in, you know, get a little workout in.
Stretch.
I'm out of here by 11 a.m. Head back to San Diego. Do what he's got to do. I'm sure there's pomp and pageantry that's going to be going on for that match on Saturday night.
Well, let's
Manny is well within his right to do to do what he wants.
It's
February 27th.
He's already hit a home run. He's hit some balls hard. He's good. We're not worried about his production.
He looks ready. Whatever Manny wants to do, I'm fine.
Yeah. Let's preview a couple for the next couple games. Tomorrow, Fernando Tatis Jr. is expected to make his Cactus League debut along with most of the regulars in the lineup. That game is going to be on 97.3 The Fan tomorrow night starting at 5:30. So you will be able to hear that. And then Dylan Cease is supposedly making his first spring start on Saturday.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be an interesting lineup, and I think the first lineup you may want to take a little stock in. Not totally, but I think there's a possibility that a lineup you see tomorrow could look something like an opening day lineup.
Why is that they're doing it like a weekend?
It's not so much weekend versus weekday.
No, I'm saying a week in. Like they started.
Oh, a week in. Yeah. Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, let me look at the lineup today before I talk out of turn. Luis Arraez was in the lineup, and that struck me as he was the only starter that went today. I quickly looked at the lineup today. Let me see here one more time.
Yeah, you're right.
It was only him.
So
number one, Arraez, only starter, he DH today, he got two at-bats. So very good chance, I would say, that Luis plays tomorrow and plays the field based on that. The fact that nobody else played today, and it's a home game on a Friday night, I would assume that pretty much everybody else is going to play. Tatis, Merrill, Bogarts, Crony, who else is on this team?
Fernando.
Fernando.
Hasn't made his debut yet, so I understand.
He is not, and that's the other reason why I think it's going to be pretty darn close to an opening day lineup, because Fernando's in all likelihood going to be in it. And Fernando was out there today doing a lot of different work, running, doing fly ball drills, hitting in the cage, so he kind of ramped up his activity today. So tomorrow it appears maybe you're going to see pretty close to an opening day type lineup, because Fernando will be back. Everybody aside from Arraez didn't play today. It would appear to me a pretty good chance to see everybody on Friday, which is great. And when I say take stock in the lineup, I just mean it by the order of the lineup. Again, yeah. No guarantee, but it's kind of the first time that Mike Schilt will have the opportunity, if he wants, to make a lineup how we might see on opening day, because I think there are some questions about how he may look at this lineup, who hits where, lefty-righty combination. So I'm sure that when Mike Schilt speaks with the media tomorrow afternoon before this night game, I'm sure, I don't know that I'll be the one that asks it, but I'm sure somebody will ask, is this a pretty good indication of what an opening day lineup could look like?
I get nervous.
Take your bets
just
on who asked that.
I get nervous thinking about it.
Maybe I will ask it.
Okay.
Because Cassavell isn't going to be there tomorrow. AC will. Maybe I will be the one to ask it.
All right.
You know what?
Well, I'm going to stay tuned
start.
For
maybe
that.
I just start.
I think you should.
Pre-game with Schilt tomorrow right off the bat.
I think you should just be like, "Rah!" and jump in.
I ask exactly what I just said. So anyway, it'll be fun tomorrow.
Yes.
I always like the night games too, because we so rarely have them during spring training. It gives you a little bit of a different vibe. I think last year we had one night game, or the only night game, rained out. I don't think there's any rain in the forecast tomorrow.
Yeah. Was that the game you were going to call?
No. That was rained out too.
The prospect game?
That was the prospect game. That was rained out too.
Anyway, let's not bring up bad memories. All right. We have a ton going on the show. And right now, at two different points during the show, you will win a 4-pack of tickets to a Padres spring training game at Peoria Sports Complex. And you're also qualified for the grand prize. 4 tickets to the Padres Guardians game at Petco Park on April 2nd. Get your spring training tickets now at PeoriaBaseball.com. Your first chance is now. Be caller number 13 for Manny Machado's number, 833-288-0973, and you will be on your way to some spring training games. All right, on the other side, Sam, have you heard about Derek Bender? And, there's a catcher from minor league baseball last year that is kind of being blackballed from baseball because he's being accused of telling the other team what his team was throwing.
Oh, no, I did hear.
Yes, I figured.
This was a story a while ago.
But they caught up with him, and they had talked with him, so we'll talk a little bit about Derek Bender and what's going on with him when we get back on 97.3 The Fan. All right, back here on 97.3 The Fan, Sammy Levitt, Matt Scraby, filling in for Gwen and Chris. Chris is back tomorrow, and Tony will be back here after the game against the A's. The game has taken a crazy turn, though, because the Padres were dominating it until the bottom of the eighth inning, when Padres pitching gave up 5 runs to the A's. So it was 6 to three, or it is 6-3 right now in the top of the ninth. Three more outs for the Padres to turn it around. Now, here's a guy I want to talk about real quick, Sam, before we get into Derek Bender. Tom Cosgrove. He went a third of an inning today, three hits, four earned runs, and a walk. What happened to the guy that we saw two seasons ago that came in and seemingly got everyone in his path out? I know baseball is a hard sport, but it seems like he's not in anywhere close to that guy the last couple seasons.
Well, look, the 23 season where he sort of came out of nowhere, and I thought you could argue is one of the more promising, or I should say, one of the better rookies in baseball, really, when you looked at his final numbers, as far as just the performance as a rookie. Look, last year, the start of the year was not nearly as good. There were struggles there. Command didn't seem to be the same, was getting hit more. Then obviously was back down in the minors for a good chunk of last year. So look, I still think that Tom is somebody who can help you. I'm not going to go crazy about one spring training outing.
Neither am I.
27th.
Neither am I.
But look, he's a lefty who definitely provides value. So I do think one way or another, knowing how typically you need relievers over the course of a year, I believe Tom Cosgrove will be a part of this bullpen. Is that going to be on opening day? I don't know. But I do think Tom will play a role on this team, and hopefully he can find that 23 rookie year form, because Tom, I mean, look, coming into spring training last year, it was pretty much a lock.
It was
pretty much a lock for Tom to be in the bullpen. That's how good he was in 2023. So hopefully he can have a bounce back year and find it a little bit again.
Yeah, 54 games, 1.75 ERA, 51 and a third innings in 2023. Last year, 18 games, 11.66 ERA and 14 and two-thirds innings. So.
Yeah, I do want to mention, though, just with his, and I'm just catching up on the play-by-play on the box score, and we're not obviously watching the game right now.
Yeah, and it's a limited box score as well.
Yeah, and by the way, again I'll say we're talking about a spring training game on February 27th.
Yes.
But with that said, from what I can tell here, Tom came in, it was a 3-1 game. He gave up two runs, but the inning really blew up. Marinaccio came in, hit a batter, and then gave up a bases clearing triple to make it 6-3 A's.
So Tom Cosgrove was on the hook for
those runs. A lot of inherited runners that Marinaccio allowed to score. But Tom didn't have a great outing either, so a bit of a mix of the two.
That's fair.
Tom and Marinaccio.
That's fair.
You know.
Okay. Derek Bender. Now, he was a minor league baseball player last year, and The Athletic caught up with him and interviewed him about this. He was fired from the Twins. That's who was his employer. They drafted him. They gave him the contract. He was playing for the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, and this was apparently September 6th, and Bender was, I'm going to go back and forth between his commentary now and what actually happened. At the time, Bender was extremely tired. He had been going through a college baseball season. He had been going through all of the minor league season. And he was saying him and his teammates were all talking about how tired they were and how they were ready for the season to be over. And he started making jokes like, hey, it wouldn't be a bad thing if you let that grounder go under your glove. And so teammates were like, ha ha ha, kind of funny. A couple of losses would eliminate them from playoff contention. And that's what apparently he was counting on. He says, though, he wasn't serious about it. So what happened was the manager of the opposing team came over to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles manager and was like, hey, your catcher is telling our hitters what is being thrown. And so he is in violation of Rule 21A, which prohibits players from intentionally losing games or attempting to lose games. And because it remains ongoing, the Twins, Tigers, and MLB and Players Union all declined to comment on this. So that's why it's becoming a big deal. He has no idea whether or not he's going to be playing Major League Baseball ever again. But my question is, can anyone trust him? He says he didn't do it. It would take a lot for me to think that a manager would just make that up and walk across the field and ruin some kid's career. That would be wild to me. But he said he never told the other team about the pitches.
here's a quote in this article that makes me a little dubious of Bender's denial.
Please, let me read, please read it.
This is from that ESPN article. Quote, there are a lot of times, let me read the line above. And this is written by, just so we're good journalism here, Big J journalists, of course. There's no byline. It just says ESPN.
Well, somebody ESPN wrote it, staffers.
Right? Okay. Anyway, it says, meanwhile, Bender said he hasn't heard from any of his former teammates, including Ross. I'm not sure who Ross is without going up in the article.
Yeah, it's fine.
Quote, there are a lot of times where you're talking with people that you thought were your friends, or you thought you were, it says you thought you were friends with. They just don't look at you the same, quote, Bender told The Athletic. Quote, I've heard my friends get questioned about me, why they're still friends with me. That's hard to hear. I find it a little odd that if it wasn't true, or that people really thought it wasn't true, that he wouldn't have heard from any of his teammates.
Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of screams to me that you did something wrong and people are not too happy
not
with
feeling
you.
Just
it. My opinion.
Like,
yeah.
if you had something you got accused of and I knew it wasn't true, I would be calling you, being like, Sam, got your back. Like, no one calling you tells
especially,
me
especially
so
a baseball
much.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially a baseball team. That's odd to me.
And, no, also,
that's
here's,
odd
thank
to
you.
Me.
Thank you for bringing that up, because here's another quote from a family friend and his longtime hitting coach that tells me a lot, too. It says, quote, that's sometimes what you get with Derek. You get a lot of emotion, a lot of personality. He's a bold dude. I gave him lots of advice to keep his mouth shut when he got to the minor leagues. I had given Derek some good advice that he didn't take, end quote. So if that's a family friend talking about this guy, like, I don't know. He said he didn't do it. I tend not to believe that.
Oh, okay. So you know what? I was reading the ESPN article, but now I see the original Athletic article. Let me read the first couple of lines here. Because, again, this is odd to me if he's innocent.
Yeah.
This is written by Sam Blum, by the way, in the Athletic. Every once in a while, Derek Bender will send a text to one of his former teammates, or he'll call and leave a voicemail. But after what happened on September 6th, he has not received one text back, not one call. He's been left on red, a ghosted pariah to a team that has nothing left to do with him.
See, you're right. I mean, that tells me everything I need to know.
I find that odd. I find that odd because if I know baseball players, if they believed or if he really didn't do it, which I think would spread that opinion amongst players, amongst teammates, in my opinion, that wouldn't be happening. To me, that screams that there are a lot of people, for whatever reason, that believe that you did do it.
Yeah.
With the intent of giving away pitches.
Thank you for
That's
confirming.
What it says to me.
Thank you for confirming this, because I was reading this morning. Like, is this my hater brain getting in the way? But no, it was exactly what I read. Now he is,
and also, like, if other managers were going to, who was he on the Rockies?
He was on the Fort Myers. Oh, the Twins. The Twins was the parent club. Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Right, he was in the Twin system. You know, if I'm a, I would assume, and again, I haven't read the article here. You know, wasn't prepped by Matt Scraby to read the article.
What are you talking about? I sent you the document.
Oh, sorry, I didn't look at the document.
You're like Chris Ellis. Chris goes, well, Scraby would have prepared me. I'm like, I gave it to you yesterday. He's like, well, if you would have let me know again.
I was too busy getting Dutch Bros.
It's fine.
Okay, to read your document.
It's fine. I will prep you for the rest of the show in the next break.
Yeah, I'll take a look at this during the break, the full article. But to me, if a manager is going to another manager and saying that, that means he got the information from the players, right?
Yeah.
And I would assume that his batters, his players said, yeah, this is what's going on. Just,
yeah.
You know, or they're talking about it inside the dugout. And I would assume there was a level of seriousness to that. That wasn't just it was some sort of joking back and forth, because that stuff does happen between catcher and hitter and whatnot. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But this would be a very different kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I would assume something very different sounding from that hitter to the opposing manager.
So, I would agree with you. And you've been around
baseball.
Yeah,
interesting. I got to read the whole article and give you a better full opinion after reading the whole piece. But again, that first part, I don't know. That's if you're innocent, truly, that's odd to me that
so many people don't want anything to do with you.
No teammates would come to your defense or support you knowing how tightly knit a baseball team is.
He also had a quote in the article. He's like, I'm not a criminal, and yeah, you're not a criminal, but inside of baseball, you probably did something that is like so
correct.
Bad that you are looked at as a baseball criminal.
Yeah. It's a bad thing to do. Not only is it just a bad thing to do, and in that moment, a competitive disadvantage, obviously, but you're messing with other people's careers in a way. You're messing with your pitcher's numbers, with your pitcher's ability to compete, and in turn, with your pitcher's career. So if I'm a teammate and I really think he did it, or I'm one of those pitchers and I think that he was maliciously, legitimately giving pitches to batters before they were coming, I mean, I'm irate.
Yeah,
I mean that is messing with livelihoods and careers.
Hey, I'm ready to get to AAA, and now I gave up two home runs. I'm not saying it happened, but you know, I gave up a bunch of runs, and now I'm not getting to AAA.
And I got to read this article again. I got to read it because I need to understand.
Nice.
Is he saying that there was no communication between him and a hitter, or is he saying that it was just in a joking
here,
manner?
Here is from the article. The interviewer asked, quote, you were accused of giving away pitches as they were coming up to bat. Did that happen? Bender said, quote, no, with an indignant chuckle. And I'll live with this until the day I die. I never gave pitches away. I never tried to give the opposing team an advantage against my own team. So he's saying that nothing happened. Nothing.
That seems very odd to me.
It does. We'll get back to this in a little bit.
I can't imagine a scenario where hitters are going back to their dugout, talking to their teammates and their coaching staff, or it gets around enough to where the manager starts hearing it.
Yeah.
And they're just making it up out of thin air. I'm sorry to this guy. That sounds ludicrous to me.
It doesn't happen.
That sounds ludicrous.
It does. All right. Well, we'll get back to this in a little bit. We're going to head to break. On the other side, Ben and Wood sat down with Jackson Merrill. I'm excited to hear this
interview.
Okay, great. And we will also, if we have time, briefly talk about MLB All Under 25 team. So Sammy and Scraby here with you until Tony gets here. And then it's Scraby and Gwynn, or Gwynn and Scraby on 97.3 The Fan. I just said all of that without saying a word. That is really annoying. I was like, I can't hear myself. I'm just going to keep going. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Sam, Matt Scraby here on 97.3 The Fan. Padres, the game just ended between them and the A's. A's win 6-4.
Scraby, if you and I had a show.
Yes.
What do you think the name would be?
I thought we already found it. Sammy and Scraby?
You think it would be Sammy and Scraby?
It sounds
Sam
better,
and
Sammy
Scraby,
and Scraby.
Scraby and Sam.
Well, do you
Scraby
like being
Sammy?
Called Sammy?
I love Sammy.
Okay.
I'm a Sammy at heart. I'm a Sammy at heart. Growing up, everybody called me Sammy. Nobody in their right mind in New York would call me Sam.
There is no disrespect meant by this, but we had a very good dog growing up named Sammy. I love that dog so much. No, people
Sammy's
always take people take offense when you're like, oh, our dog has the same name as you.
Why?
I dated a girl who had the same name as our dog, and it was fun.
I agree. It should be. I think Sammy and Scraby has a nice
ring.
Has a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's way better. Scraby and Sammy. Nah. We got to put the star.
Are we doing more dating advice today?
We can. We've been asked to. We definitely
segment.
Have been asked to.
I mean, I had people reach out. I had people listen. It was a popular segment.
I went on Bumble last night, and I was like, opening line, hey, how's it going? No. All right, Padres lose today. No big deal. We'll talk about that later. We have Jackson Merrill here. Actually, you know what? Jackson Merrill was so good with Ben and Woods. It was a 12-minute conversation, and Jackson Merrill he actually like is a good talker. You know what I'm saying? Like some
great
players,
talker.
It's just not for them. It's just, you know, talking to the radio people is just not something that they were born to do, which is fine because I can't hit a fastball either. But Jackson Merrill, definitely one of those guys who is able to talk with the best of them. So Ben and Woods, they sat down with Jackson Merrill this morning, and here is what they talked about.
Sitting down with us, getting ready for his second season with the San Diego Padres as a big leaguer, Jackson Merrill. Jackson, we were just talking about last year we sat down with you at this time, and so much was unknown. Didn't even know if you're going to make the team at that point. You didn't know what position he was going to play or anything. Talk about the differences between last spring training and this spring training, at least in your mind, if there is any.
For me, no, I treat it the same. Got to make the team, got to break the team. Got to prove to them that I'm worthy of having the center field job. But also, it is a little more relaxed, you know, for me, not knowing what position I was playing last year to this year. I know what I'm doing. So, yeah, it's a little more relaxed, a little more tranquil than last year.
How was the off season for you? I talked to you at Fantasy Camp briefly, and you said you were really, really bored and you were ready to get back to it. Like, after playing a lot of games, more baseball probably than you'd ever played in your life. What was your decompression time as opposed to your, all right, it's time to start running and lifting and hitting and all that again?
Yeah, so usually I get back to it pretty fast, but this year was different. This year I just kind of I took a month to just kind of chill. You know, I'd never played that many games before, never been on my feet so consistently like that. So I just kind of took a month to chill, and then after that it was go time. So like I got my running in, lifts in as much as I possibly could. I went home, back to Baltimore for a month, so it's obviously really cold outside. You don't really get to go outside that much, but for the most part, I was here, too. I've been here for 3 months now, so you know, I'm really looking forward to getting these games going. Enjoy my first three, so I'm excited to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty remarkable how well you managed out in center field last year, considering it was a brand-new position that you hadn't even been asked to play until spring training had already started. Where do you think you are now in terms of that development as an outfielder out in center field, and where do you think you can kind of take your game to defensively?
No, still learning a lot. But I think I've done a really good job to learn fast.
Yeah.
I feel like I pick up things kind of quick, and I just want to keep going. You know, do as much defense as possible, as much reads as possible, just get better in any way possible. And if you were watching yesterday, apologize for the...
It was like one little...
Yeah, I've never even done that before.
Like, pop out and re-catch it?
Literally never had that happen before in the infield or anywhere. I've always just caught it straight to the glove. And I looked it all the way in, it just popped out. So, you know, I went home and I put a little softball in my glove and wrapped it up so the pocket's bigger now. So... pop out anymore, but I was like, oh.
You know what? I wouldn't have lost any sleep about it if I were you, man. I mean, the way that you played last year, I know that you had done an interview earlier in spring training talking about, you know, yeah, I mean, you're working the wall, a little bit better, getting up, maybe robbing a couple. That's always a fun feeling for a center fielder to do. Who have you kind of leaned on, you know, on the team and maybe even around the league of guys that you've talked to that have kind of helped you with the position? Because it's the same, essentially the same view-ish as shortstop, but it's certainly different, man. When that ball, these guys hit it really, really hard. I don't know if you know. You're one of them. And it's spinning and it's knuckling and things like that. Have you leaned on some current big leaguers or ex-big leaguers?
To be honest with you, I've kind of always... in my baseball career, even in the minors, no one really has come to me and like tried to force me to learn stuff and controlled me of how I'm learning and adjusting to stuff. They've always kind of just thrown it at me and let me see how I handle it.
Yeah.
It's always kind of just panned out. So when I got told to go to center, I didn't ask questions. I didn't say anything. I went to center and I started to learn as fast as possible. And obviously there's stuff about like positioning and
sure.
Certain like counts, what should I do in certain counts? Like two strikes, you should move it. Because, you know, if two strikes, you're trying to shorten up and get a base hit rather than swing big. But other than that, no. Like, I have been mainly just going at it on my own, you know, and being athletic and having fun, like I said last year a lot. It's just that's all I was trying to do out there is be athletic. Go catch the ball. If it's in the air, go catch it.
Is it a thing for you where you don't want to overthink? You don't want to get too much information? You don't want to get, you know, I don't want to hear how this guy does it because then I might change the way I do it.
Yeah, exactly. No, like I think just there's a different way about everybody playing center field.
Yeah.
You know, you see Jacob Young, you see Brenton Doyle, gold glove for Doyle this year. Like, you know, they just play it a different way. They also play in different stadiums too, so it's harder to ask them, like, what they do. Because in Colorado, the ball flies. you know? And then the Nats Park, it's a big park, and it's a little different. The air is different than Petco. Like, mm-hmm. Petco, the ball gets hung up, so it's kind of easier to get underneath balls and catch balls.
Makes sense. Jackson Merrill is with us, and, you know, communication is obviously big in the outfield as well. You don't want to run into each other. You got Fernando now, a full season, has been next to you. But in left field, some new faces this year. What's been your interaction with, you know, you got some veterans like Jason Hayward, Connor Joe's been out there, got some younger guys.
Eggie's played out there.
We've seen Tirso Ornelas out there. I'm sure you played with some of these guys in the minor leagues before, but what have you seen from some of the left field candidates so far?
I mean, all of them are great. You know, all of them got the ability to play in the big leagues. It's just a matter of which one's going to get the most playing time. You know, and then I really like all the guys. Hayward, Sheets, and even Forrest Wall yesterday. Forrest Wall, an unreal game. Slept on, you know, single, gets the second, steals third. Obviously doesn't score, but then comes back later. And
home run. It's a bomb.
Good home run, you know. Like, yep. He's here to play. And I think that's how everybody here, like, that's what they're here to do. You know? Everybody's here to play and compete for a job, so.
So the you play your first season, finish runner-up for Rookie of the Year, and I know, you know, again, you said, I don't care. I want to win a World Series. Getting as close as you did in your first year, you know, you hear stories like this in baseball a lot. Like, you make it your first year, and you make it pretty far in the playoffs, didn't end the way that you wanted to, and there's been a rash of players that say, I thought it was going to happen every single year. For you, have you thought about that, right, and how the season ended, and how long did that kind of take you to get over?
Once the season ended, it obviously sucked in the moment, but for me personally, I'm a guy that kind of gets over things faster than people. So, like, when it ended, yeah, it sucks, and I'm going to be absolutely bored out of my mind for a week after that.
Did you watch much after?
Yeah, I watched it. I'm a baseball guy,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm watching everything, but to be honest, it was in the past, you know. Yeah. That year is over. It's
can't
over with. You can't change it. There's nothing you can do. They beat us. You know, that's what happened. So, you know, all you got to do is look forward to this year and look forward to what you can do in this season.
There's a phrase that people sometimes use for second-year players. I don't even want
to
say
it. Do not say it.
I think you know what I've...
You know what it is.
Is there... I'm not worried about you at all. I've seen you play and how you bring it. I have no concerns about that. But is that something the team will, like, address or anything like that? Or is there any truth to that in anyone's mind on a baseball field?
Not at all. I mean, there was a time in the minors for a month that I struggled. And, like, it sucked, but I figured out a way to get out of it and figure out a way to mentally get through it. And I just, like, you know, it's baseball.
Yeah.
You're going to suck at some points. Like, you're going to. It's a part of it. But it's just how you can adjust and get out of those slumps. Like last year, I was in slumps for weeks at a time, but it was like I found it and I was out of it. And then I'd give a month rather than like week good, week bad, week good, week bad, you know.
We had Luis Arraez sitting down here yesterday. No one's better with the, you know, bat than he is. And he said something that I thought about all day. He said, baseball is really, it's really hard. Hitting is really hard. It's not impossible, but it's really,
team meeting.
Really hard.
Did he?
Yeah, we were having a team hitting meeting. He's like, I love hitting. But hitting is hard. But it's not impossible. I'm like, so what are you trying to say here? He's like, hitting is hard, not for me. Thanks, guy. I also see he wrote three-time batting champ underneath his signature.
Of course, yeah, he did.
Wow. That boy, Louis. What a guy.
So I'm not the only one who that made an impression on, apparently.
That was great. It was great. He's I like about this team, and I think most teams need to be constructed this way. You can't have nine guys in the lineup to swing the exact same. It's got to be different looks and got to be different ways to beat you. And when you look at the way the Padres lineup is constructed, they've moved you up a little bit in some spring training games. Is that something that you feel, number one, excited about, something that you want to happen? I know a lot of fans, we love – it's every fan's dream to make out the lineup card. And, boy, Schulte sure loves it when we give him our suggestions. He's a big fan of it. So, you know, we all play that game in the offseason of, all right, coming into this year, you go Rise at the top, maybe – Toddy, then maybe Merrill in the three. Is that something for you, you know, moving up from seven to three, or do you care at all?
I really don't care where I'm at in the lineup. Obviously, I didn't care last year. I started at nine hole, moved up eight, seven, kind of just moved up a spot at a time until I got to fifth and just kind of stayed there. But If I move to the three hole, yeah, good, great. If not, then I got to do my job in the five of protecting somebody, you know? In the three hole, you're protected. So, like, I got to walk. I got to, you know, take more pitches and see more pitches, try to get a better pitch to hit every AB. But in the five hole, like, if I don't have as much protection, then I'm the one protecting Manny and Bogey.
Yeah.
So it really just depends on wherever they want to put me, wherever they think is best fit for the team.
You also get up more, though, when you're higher.
That's
in
true.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. More RBI opportunities,
yeah,
too.
Yep.
You know, kind of being at the nine hole for the beginning of the year, it obviously took away a little bit of that, but you know, you make do with what you have. You know, you can't complain about where you're at in the lineup if you're in the lineup.
Now, you know, for you, we are, you know, the media experts, and I use finger quotes, and I say that with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. About midway through the season, we're looking at Jackson, and we're talking about, man, what's the ceiling for this guy, you know, this season? I don't know. I mean, it'd be great if he hit 10, 12, you know, double-digit home runs would be rad. And you go out and you throw 24 home runs up, and I know you didn't really change your approach at all. When you look at hitting 24 homers as a rookie, is it something you look at and go, yeah, I want to get 30, you know, or do you just continue to try to hit the ball hard? Good things will happen.
Yeah, try to hit doubles more than homers.
Yeah.
You know, because doubles are really important.
They're great.
You know, it keeps a rally going. Homers are good, and they're obviously better than doubles, but
sure,
they don't come by as much. You know, if you try to hit doubles, line drives, you're gonna make out and hit a couple more homers than you think you are. But hitting more homers than I did last year comes with strength and age. You know, like, I'm only 21 still. I still have time to just kind of fill out, and I haven't yet. I don't really feel like I've gotten that, like, older, like, man strength in my body. I'm just waiting for it to come, you know. A lot of flyouts that were deep to the warning track last year, so if I can get a little bit more extra strength, just by age, just by, like,
yeah,
naturally putting on weight, you know, those are going to go. And then it makes it into 30, like you said.
Yeah.
Last thing for me, Jackson. We talked a little bit about yesterday. It was written up in the paper about last Monday when you guys played. And you were done after, whatever, four innings. But you stuck around. You know, the veterans, they usually leave, and you see them all carrying their bags and coming back here. But you stuck around with the other guys all the way through nine innings. I don't know why it made such an impression on all of us, mm-hmm, as fans. I know you weren't doing it for eyewash or show or anything. But what's your rationale behind that, just sitting there?
Certain games, you know, there's certain games where, one, you have to read your body. But, two, like, my boys are in there that I've played with in the minors when I was coming up, so it's like, it's cool to get that opportunity to watch them. But also, you can learn a few things if you just are chilling watching the game. You know, if you just locked into a game, you're better at counts. You know, it's crazy, Freddie. It's crazy, Freddie. It's crazy.
Did he give it a little extra juice as he was driving by? I feel like he did.
He put in gear.
Yeah, he did.
I don't even remember what I was saying.
Talking about being locked in, watching the game,
yeah,
and being,
yeah,
locked in with your boys.
So just it's a good opportunity, especially when you go through a whole season. You don't even get to see some of those guys,
yeah,
for the whole year. You know, the two guys I live with right now, I didn't even get to see the entire season last year. So, like, for me, it's just a better opportunity. It's just a good opportunity to see some more baseball.
Yeah, I love it.
Jackson, I really appreciate it. Obviously, you're number two. We're looking really forward to seeing you back at Petco Park in a few weeks, but thanks for sitting down with us.
Of course, yeah.
There is Jackson Merrill, San Diego Padres center fielder, and certainly took San Diego by storm last year in 2024.
All right, if my man crush didn't need to be bigger, it's bigger. I mean, Jackson Merrill is, like, living my dream. I actually was best at baseball, I think, and I quit for football. I should have stayed with it. Jackson Merrill and I would have been a baseball player. Actually, I'm, like, 15. All right, I'm going to stop talking. It's time for break. We're going to head there. Sam Levitt and I are going to talk about Jackson Merrill on the other side. We also have a Daily Gambit, a quick one, some NL Cy Young early odds. We'll get into that on the other side on Gwen and Chris.